just gonna, you made me think of, actually I've thought about it a few times before. One of the things, one of my stark memories from being at seminary, because I was a student there for 6 years, and then I worked there for 3 years, and I loved nothing more than seeing these, pardon the expression, snot-nosed 18, 19-year-old kids who thought that after having 9 hours of theology, intro to orthodoxy classes, and spirituality, they, you know, they were already posing for their icons. And I realized in that context that a lot of people use discernment as a synonym for judgment. Mm. It's like, oh, I'm not judging, I'm discerning. It's like, no, you're judging. And I think what you're saying is true. The way I heard it is, if we're living the Christian life, we don't need discernment all that often. We need to love, and we need to pray, and we need to fast and go to church, and beyond that, you know. And then something that people didn't say for resources, that's an important resource, is other people. Mm. There's a great story about the desert monks, and one of them was trying to figure out what this passage in the Bible meant. And he stayed, and he prayed, and he wept, and he sweated, and he couldn't figure it out. And so finally he broke down and says, you know what, I'll go next door and ask my neighbor. And so then when he walked out and started walking to his neighbor's house, an angel came down and gave him the answer. And he said, well, why didn't you do this a long time ago? And the angel said, because you have to realize that you have to reach out to others. Mm-hmm. And so other people are a great resource for us as well. You know, we don't do it. We collaborate. We bounce information back and forth.
Sir?
I'm going to reach out to others.
Reach out to Ann.
Uh-huh. Give me another difficult question. Let's go for your cohort here.
All right. It's okay, John. You can do it.
Okay.
Support it.
Could you summarize your lecture this morning?
In 50 words.
Since I was not here. What's the question?
Ah!
It makes it quite a bit easier.
If I had to summarize my lecture, the lecture, it would be, praise God at all times. Use every minute to reflect on the great things that God has given you. Rejoice in the blessings that God has given your neighbor. And if we spend all our time focusing on the blessings of God, we're not going to have emptiness in our heart to be filled with evil things and distractions.
Like YouTube videos, internet.
Like YouTube videos.
Very nice. Very nice.
You're lucky I remembered it.
Question, I guess, for your feedback, either one of you. I kind of feel like our spirit, part of our spiritual development, as well as our development itself, is somewhat, as we're growing up, dependent on the image or the things that we put out into the world and how we perceive how it's received. And in this internet age, I don't have children, but I have 3 granddaughters who are 10, 12, and 13.
Okay.
And they don't have Facebook yet, but they're on Instagram, which is, for those of you who don't know, where you post photos and you can make little comments and you have friends who can comment back. And I'm realizing as I now look at their Instagram postings that everything they post is so public. But the things that we did when we were children, if you made a gaffe or you said something that was dumb, maybe 10, 20 people knew about it, and that's it. But now it's like limitless who can find out about this. And it's forever. I one of my goddaughters posted some comments in response to a photo that somebody put, and it was kind of a, I don't think she meant it to be mean, but it was like slang that kids use that amongst themselves probably isn't that big of a deal, but I noticed later that it was removed, and I'm thinking, okay, somebody saw that, like a parent, and made them remove it, but it's there, and people saw it, and for those who saw it, it's there forever, and you can find it. And so I'm just thinking how, like, now that there's this internet age, and things are permanent, and things are public, how that's going to spiritually affect children who are growing up in this age, and they don't have the discernment to understand what's right. permanent and what's damaging and what's okay.
Right. And it's very impersonal, too. Yes. I mean, it's not, we talked about this before, about, you know, things face-to-face, because when you communicate face-to-face, you can see, you know, if somebody misunderstood you or if somebody took that poorly, you can say, oh, I didn't mean that meanly. Right. I was just saying, you know, and you can kind of, you know, retract it, you know, and work it around, and you come to an understanding because you know, like the person starts crying, you're like, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. You know, you have that feedback.
Right.
And so you correct yourself. Yeah. That's a tough one.
Second after dissertation.
My third book. I'm sorry, you didn't get dissertation, first book, second book. Okay. An opportunity for some parenting that, you know, in previous generations, you know, that talk didn't need to happen, but in this generation, you know, maybe mom needs to, dad needs to sit down with the kid and say, all right, you're posting things out there for everyone to see. Think three times about how it's perceived.
There's a holy priest that I ran into at seminary. There are a few holy priests. And one thing that always struck me was the way he responded to, we were sometimes rude to one another.
No.
Yeah, no, college people can't deal with honesty. So they have to deal with sarcasm. You know, I guess they're trying to be tough and they don't want to say nice things to one another. So they say sarcastic things to one another that is not nice. And it's like, you're supposed to know. And so all he would do is he would just look at us and say, be nice. And I mean, through 4 or 6 years of hearing him just say, be nice, that's ingrained on me. And I think one thing that we as a community have our ethical responsibility to one another is...
That's there. Be just, nice.
You know, don't scold. Don't correct. Just remind. Be nice. I mean, it's a simple thing, but little things like that, once you get caught a couple of times putting rude things on the internet, which I may have done a time or two in my life, it's like you come to your senses and you say, oh my goodness. And I'm old enough so I can forget these things. So at least I've forgotten them. But you learn caution.
And just to follow up, I mean, you're talking about kids. You know, it comes back around with college students, and then they're out looking for jobs. And all of the, you know, like postings they made at 2 a.m. or blah, 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 you know, your potential employer might be able to see those.
And that's why the college students I work with, at a certain point in the year, change their names.
Oh,
you change your Facebook name so that nobody can find you.
Yeah, but maybe it's something to think about, you know, like it's all out there.
Yeah, it's...
You know, even blogs. I mean, it doesn't have to be things like that. You know, like if you change your mind, it's still out there for, you know, for people to see. You know, it's pretty permanent and very visible. Yeah, so it's an issue.
You know, but on the other hand, I mean... There's nothing that we're doing that the angels don't see and that God doesn't see. And so in a way, I mean, it's not what I would have wanted to happen, and there's a lot of problems with it. But getting back to what's real and unreal, in the real world, they know everything that's going on. They know what's going on inside here.
Right.
You know, and so maybe that's a good way of taking it, of remembering. You know, it's not just a matter of whether I'm going to get a job because of what I said now, but it's a matter of, you know, where am I going to get into it?
But one of my theological problems with the internet is the internet, since everything is permanent, then it makes us forget the power of confession. It makes us forget the power of forgiveness, which is a sad thing. Because if I'm rude to someone, if I say rude things to Anne, and it's just a matter of time before I do, I'm going to hurt her, I'm going to repent, I'm going to go to confession, and then it's going to be, okay, go on and be holy again. But you post something on the Facebook, and it's there forever. And so it's a sad... It's one of those things like icons on iPads. I think the technology and theology are a little bit at odds, and that bothers me.
But the other side of that is somebody like Mary of Egypt, who's bitterly repenting her sins while she's walking on water.
Oh, that's true.
You know, so there is a way to do that.
That's true.
It's wholesome.
I have a question, if you can tolerate
my question. So that's the last one, I promise.
I'll let them answer.
I want
oh, thank you.
I want Anne to answer.
Good. Oh, good.
And you very probably give us your spiritual point of view. The question is, if you work in a non-ascetic environment with different cultures of people, and they sort of cuss all the time, and they use, you know, and you just happen to be there in that environment, How would you deal with this? And how does it affect your spiritual life? And how can you deal with it spiritually?
You're asking me first.
I'm gonna give you an answer that may seem like I'm wiggling out of it a little bit. I think it depends on you and who you are, and what you know about what you can tolerate and what you can't. So it may be an option, if you find it completely intolerable, is to find a different job. I mean, it's kind of an extreme option, but you know, if really the well-being of your soul is at stake, you know, then maybe that, you know, it's not that extreme to go and do that.
It's
maybe
if, harassment.
Right, well, you it's might have harassment. An ability, you might have an ability to work within the workplace setting, depending on the arrangements. You know, can you appeal to a boss? Do you have a relationship with them that you can walk up to them and say, please don't do this? Are there rules in place? And, you know, I mean, it's hard to do it abstractly. But in the end, if it's something that's that detrimental to you, then, you know, perhaps removing yourself from that situation.
How would you deal with them aesthetically?
All right, aesthetically.
Or spiritually.
Pray for them. Offer them this chocolate chip cookie so I don't have to eat it, and pray for them.
Aesthetically?
Aesthetically.
How would you make them beautiful, right?
No, how would you make them monastics?
Well, I think maybe there's two. What I was hearing wasn't so much if I can't bear it. It was more like, how do I, as a Christian,
deal with
a situation where people are doing, you know, things that are not pleasing to God? And, you know, I would go with the version of what Anne is saying. I don't think there's cookie-cutter answers for many things. And I do think it depends on the person, because I know people who can joke their way out of something like that, you know, and they can say something, and it'll be very clear that what you're saying is, what you just said was really inappropriate and out of line, but everyone will laugh and they'll stop, you know. And then there are other people who can get away with saying, you know what, that's really bad thing, you know, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting other people. And there are people who can get away with that. And so I think, you know, as with most things, I think we need to look at our own hearts about, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing and not doing what I'm not doing? You know, and get counsel from somebody who knows you, and in the best possible situation, actually knows the other people who are involved in the situation. And I think most of us, you know, there's something you see in the Father sometimes about, you know, I mean, we all have sort of the sins of our own particular nature, and it's worse to sin against your nature. Like, I'm an inveterate coward. So, like, if I were to... I said, I'm a big coward.
Oh, coward, yeah.
So if I screwed up my courage to sin... That would be really, really bad, because I can't screw up my courage for much of anything. So, like, if I, you know, so if I were to do that, that would be really, really bad. So, you know, so I can see somebody in a situation like that saying, you know, what you're doing is really sinful and you should stop that, which would be totally inappropriate, because they would be doing it out of, you know, self-righteousness. And somebody else, you know, may be very sweet and kind and loving when what they need to do is give a person a swift kick, you know. You know, it's speak the truth in love. And most of us want to do one or the other, and we don't want to do both. And that's where we need to be in close contact with our spiritual father about how best to do that. So yeah, I mean, there are very, once you get outside of, like, you know, Trinitarian theology and Christological definitions, there's a lot of leeway, you know, and I think, you know, if we get holier ourselves, I think that's the best thing we can do in any given situation, you know. I'm not going to go from where I am now to holy tomorrow, but if I'm getting holier, you know, that will affect my situation, and in one way or another, and because then people are either going to, they're going to change one way or another as I change, and something's going to happen. They're either going to go, like, I, you know, I can't say this thing in front of this person. You know, my grandmother was, all she, when we were kids, all she ever had to say was, "You're cruising for a bruising." "You're cruising for a bruising. Cruising for a bruising." Because it was, she was so sweet and so patient that when she said that, we knew we were so out of line. And I never, ever remember any of her grandchildren not coming immediately in line when she said that, you know? And she said it sweetly. So, you know, so we all have our different way that works.
But she carried a big stick, right?
All right, so,
she was sweet.
Yeah.
I suspect we're drawing to a point.
Yes, we need to wrap up. Thank you.
And so, Dr. Klentos, you said something a moment or two that caused me to remember this, because I found it offensive years ago. So may I pose a riddle to the group?
Okay.
Mother Melania knows that I like plays and stories.
Oh,
so, Orthodox life in the internet world. What does the Orthodox life have in common with the internet world? They both have...
I'm looking for the pun.
Oh, I
can't. On that note,
I can't stand that.
I think we probably should wrap up. I want to
thank you.
Thank everyone for, you know, a great conversation and the opportunity to be here.
And thank you.